More than 33,000 animals live at Boston's New England Aquarium, and one man is in charge of keeping them healthy. Charlie Innes started his career as a suburban veterinarian, taking care of dogs and cats, maybe a rabbit or a pet snake. But today, he works in a building that's teeming with many animals you've probably never even heard of. I met Innes as he made his morning rounds. Behind the scenes at the tropical fish exhibit, the aerators are humming in tanks of water that line the walls of this narrow room. We break into a sweat quickly. The thermostat is cranked up, so it always feels like summer.
So, does he have gas in his eye? I haven't seen him yet.
Yes.
Innes peers into a tank with the aquarium's Brianne Dent. A tail spot squirrel fish has a bulging eye.
I want to say it's his left eye. It's hard to see because he's sort of tucked into a tube right now.
Later, the little red fish will be sedated. A needle will draw the gas out. Good as new. Next up, a 45-pound cold water patient.
So this halibut has had problems repeatedly with his abdomen getting very distended.
The team has lowered the flat, prehistoric-looking fish into a holding tank. The water is treated with anesthesia that washes over the fish's gills. The halibut must fall asleep before Innes can remove the staples from a previous surgery.
And if everything looks great, then we're in the clear. If there's any evidence that...
There he goes. He's not quite asleep yet.
He's still awake right now, yeah.
When he's finally asleep, Innes takes the staples out. The wound looks good. As our rounds continue, we see displays of anacondas and piranhas. There's Myrtle, the lovable sea turtle, and these little fellas. Baby African penguins, 42 days old, clamoring for attention behind the walls of their cage.
Well, guys, you sound like a broken record, don't you?
These stinky little fur balls represent the pressure that's on Charlie Innes. Many of the high-profile species at the aquarium are either threatened or in danger. African penguins are in sharp decline. Industrial fishing has slashed the bird's food supply, and up to 80% of the population has vanished in the past 5 decades. So, every baby counts.
We have really eliminated most of the types of illnesses that they would experience in the wild. And so it's interesting now in captivity, we see some of the more common things that happen to older people or older dogs and cats. So if the penguins are not being eaten by sharks in the wild or dying from infectious diseases in the wild, eventually something else happens. And so we see older animals here that develop cataracts or diabetes or cancer. It can be challenging but interesting to work with those kinds of cases.
Well, let's talk about that. One of the things I've been noticing as we walk around this aquarium is that there are so many different types of animals. You've got fish, sharks, penguins, octopus. All those systems in those animals must be different. How do you have the expertise to take care of each one of them?
Well, they're different in some ways, but if you look across all of the vertebrate species, they're actually quite similar. So a fish has a liver, you have a liver, a dog has a liver. So a lot of the organ systems are similar, and we really just are taking what we know in other species, domestic species like dogs, cats, horses, cows, and then we apply that information to species that may not be studied that well. When it's time to provide care to an octopus, there's not, you know, a course in school about octopus medicine.
Does that mean that you fail sometimes?
We do fail sometimes. Sometimes we find novel disease conditions or novel infectious agents that have never been reported before, and we're the first to find it. And in that case, we just have to try to extrapolate from other similar situations and come up with a plan. Sometimes that plan may work, but other times the plan fails, and that's just part of what the job is like here.
When I think about your job, I think about the health of the ocean. I've been reading a lot recently about 9 endangered right whales that have died off the coast of Canada. What do you think the health of marine animals are in relation to our oceans?
Well, it's looking a little bit depressing across the board in some capacities. We know that a lot of species are declining in numbers across the world. Sea turtles are a good example. The whales are a good example. And we know that the oceans are full of fishing gear and pollution, and that the chemistry of the ocean is changing from climate change. And all of these things are influencing the species that have evolved in the oceans for millennia. And just within a few hundred years of the human population boom, we're really damaging a lot of these species.
And you're a turtle expert.
It's among the things that I'm interested in. I've been a bit typecast, but yes, turtles are my main interest, yeah.
So, and there's what, about a half a dozen species across the world for sea turtles?
Yeah, sea turtles, there's 7 species. They're all considered endangered at this point, and they're affected by things like being entangled in fishing gear, accidentally being captured by fishing gear, and a lot of their coastal habitat where they lay their eggs has been developed as luxury resorts for humans.
It just makes me think in terms of your job. You're an aquatic vet, but in a sense, here in this place, you're also sort of a conservationist. Does that ring true to you?
Yeah, that's true. All of us here feel like we have a conservation and education job, and that's the reason many of us come to work here. So we're not just taking care of pet animals, but we recognize that we as animal care providers can't solve all of those problems, and we recognize that we need attorneys and politicians and conservation biologists to help us in that mission.
But I know there are people listening to this who don't like places like zoos or aquariums or anywhere where animals are in captivity. Do you think the animals here would be better off in their natural environment?
Yeah, that's. I can't just give a yes or no answer to that. There are animals that live here that live in smaller spaces than they would if they were out in the wild. But many of the animals that live here were born in captivity and would not survive in the wild. And so, you know, we've made choices here. For example, we don't exhibit dolphins here anymore. And that was a conscious choice based on the resources that we felt we could provide to them. So there are things that live here that it's appropriate for them to be here. That's not true probably of every zoo and aquarium in the world.
But some of the animals here are stressed. More than 1 million people visit the aquarium every year, and many of them visit the touch tank to put their hands on stingrays and small sharks. It's taken a toll on Innes's next patient, a horseshoe crab.
He's got some granulomatous tissue on his right third limb.
The crab has lived in the touch tank for 3 years, and a staff member recently noticed it's been lethargic.
He's missing his right fourth limb distally and his right fifth limb distally. And his tail tip is fragmented.
So you're weighing him now?
Yeah, so he's 700 grams.
So what's your take on that animal?
His prognosis isn't great, but we'll put forth a plan and start treating him, but he's got indications that he might be nearing the end of his life based on what we're seeing.
You said he had some fractured limbs, his tail was fractured. Yeah. That happens in captivity or in normal,
well,
the course
happens,
of a normal life?
It happens in the wild too, but captive crabs, especially ones that might be in touch experience exhibits, they may not do well for as long a period of time as they would otherwise.
Well, it makes you wonder if the touch exhibit is a good idea then.
We discuss these sorts of ethical things all the time, yeah. It's a balance of the educational value of that experience versus the outcome for the animal.
The aquarium spokesman, Tony Lacasse, is standing nearby.
What we're really looking to do is get empathy from the public to be able to care about this huge habitat. And so in part of that, some of that, an interaction can make a big difference in respect to particularly with younger kids, where all of a sudden they're engaged. And then what you hope is that they'll eventually translate to empathy.
But it is tough because I think if a little kid saw that the animal was injured, or if parents knew that bringing their kids into the exhibit to touch the animals could be causing them some sort of distress, that there would be an empathy issue there as well, that they might be concerned that that's what these exhibits can lead to.
Sure, it would be something that, you know, it's a reasonable concern. We do rotate animals off. You know, we won't keep injured animals or real animals on exhibit over that length of a period of time. We have discussions and we change practices over time as well.
Little goldfish in your bowl, I've dug you all day long. Yellow scales rising.
That's the New England Aquarium's spokesman, Tony Lacasse, along with the head vet, Charlie Innes. We've got photos and a video of the baby penguins at hereandnow.org.